4 o'clock in the afternoon, but we're here for evening prayer. So, good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship today. Glad that you've come out this afternoon. It's a beautiful afternoon. And I hope it finds to be a meaningful and moving time of worship. In fact, I hope it'll be a time of worship that has you continuing with melodies going in your mind after you this afternoon. And I also want to say thank you to the choir for coming out this afternoon to do this. I'm in the age too, so I can say this with no ego in it at all. This is a great choir. This is a great music ministry at St. James. And what you do here is so important to this congregation. I mean, I hope that individually that you know that the time that you give to coming up for rehearsals and being here for things like this afternoon is one of the greatest things about this parish. So I just want to thank you so much for all that you give. In order to enhance our worship. And Steve, of course, thank you.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. Us now, for it is evening,
and the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness,
and shine within your people here.
Thank you.
May our prayers come before you, O God, as incense, and may your presence surround and fill us, so that in union with all creation, we might sing your praise and your love in our lives.
Amen.
We'll have a reading from Scripture.
A reading from Matthew. Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers of the seats of who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayers,' but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies? You have prepared praise for yourself." He left them, went out of the city to Bethany, and spent the night there. The word of the Lord.
Thank you for reading, Julia. Today we've heard about Jesus plaiting a whip to cast the money changers out of the temple. And when he was criticized first for the praises that were arising from those who innocently were declaring his goodness. And he responded by saying, "Have you not heard that out of the mouths of infants and children come things such as this?" Some biblical scholars have argued that Jesus' disruptive behavior on this day, immediately after his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, was the last straw. It snapped the patience of the religious elites who took offense at his disregard for their power and authority. It may have been a point of no return that caused Jesus' arrest and ultimately his crucifixion. Certainly to any right-thinking person in the temple that day, Jesus' actions must have seemed sheer stupidity. At the very least, it lacked any sense of political expedience. Nevertheless, this incident in Jesus' earthly ministry, described in all four of the Gospels, is central to our understanding of who Christ is. In this passage, Jesus epitomizes the Apostle Paul's description of him in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. Through the lens of hindsight, seeing how Jesus' actions led Jesus to a cross, Paul, in 1 Corinthians, described him as a stumbling block and folly. A stumbling block to Jews and a foolishness to Gentiles, Paul wrote. Now, in contrast to Jesus, especially in this moment, you and I are creatures with a strong instinct for personal survival. So our natural inclination, unlike Jesus, is to play it safe and not rock the boat. Yet, in committing ourselves to Christian discipleship, we are called to follow a spiritual master who presents himself as an obstacle and with an utter lack of worldly charm. Indeed, Christ's example is intended to shake us out of sleepy complacency. Most of us, I'd suggest, are satisfied with the status quo because the status quo is a safe place to be. There's not much likelihood of being criticized for agreeing with conventional wisdom. Adhering to commonly held opinion reduces tension in our lives, on the one hand, but we deprive ourselves of the joy that comes of critical thinking and the insights that emerge from such thinking, from challenging the status quo, in our thoughts at least. Too willingly, we accept that the best thing is to abide by the policy and follow the rules. I remember a conversation one time with somebody on a controversial topic that has divided Christians. And his remark to me was, "Well, I just believe what the Bible says." Well, if only it were so easy. As believers, we agree that the Bible provides a useful guide for good behavior, the Ten Commandments, for example. But here's the thing.
It's not all that difficult to obey the Ten Commandments and still be complacent. Take as an example the people in the temple on the day that Jesus came in with a whip. They were following the instructions that came to them from the religious authorities of their day. They could even rationalize their behavior as being to the glory of God because they were buying and using temple currency to buy offerings that were intended to please God. So either Jesus' behavior was just dead wrong, or he was determined to shake them out of complacency. Years ago, Robert Fulghum, best known for a little book called Everything I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, shared a story about human nature. He describes a time when volunteer firefighters in a small town were summoned to a house where smoke was pouring from an upstairs window. The crew broke in and found a man in a smoldering bed. After the man was rescued and the mattress doused, the obvious question was, how did this happen? The man replied, I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. It was on fire when I lay down on it. God forbid that any of us end up with that on our tombstones. It was on fire when I lay down on it. A life story in a sentence. It's a story about complacency. It's a story about going through the motions the way you've always gone through the motions without paying any attention to whether your actions make much sense or not. It's the story of the cook who always cut the end off the ham before putting it in the oven because her mother always did it that way, and her grandmother before that. Little did she realize that her grandmother cut the ham only because Granny's roasting pan was too small for the whole thing. Indeed, it's the story of anybody who insists, because we've always done it that way. Play it safe. Don't rock the boat. Stay on the well-trodden path. Never mind the fact that Christ's mission on earth was to light a match to our complacency. Is it possible that one day we will wake up and realize that our lives were on fire underneath us all along and we didn't seem to notice? And then what? Well, then maybe we'll then be transformed when we realize it. Our outlook on life will change so that we see that as disciples of Christ, we are outsiders. Jesus invites us to live at the edge of culture. We're meant to live in conflict with the world's values and represent a new outlook that leads to actions that to most people would be a stumbling block and folly. Let me be clear. I'm not challenging you to become a hero in some big and visible ways, but who knows, some people may become such heroes. For now, just look for ways to live your life in ways that challenge the status quo. Let me give you an example. One time I led a group of young adults on a mission trip to El Salvador. I was standing on the street there in a small town one day watching a man crack open coconuts while one of the young women in our group was in the bank. I started chatting with a stranger who was standing next to me on the street, a Salvadoran man who introduced himself to me as a pastor from Texas, home visiting his mother. My mother lives right here. Come in, he said. She's making pupusas. She makes the best pupusas anywhere. He invited me, a stranger, into his home. What did I do that challenged the status quo? I accepted the invitation. And I must admit, looking back on it now, I think, what was I thinking? The young woman and I went into this stranger's mother's home, ate pupusas with the man's family, enjoyed conversation together, and before we left, he asked me to pray with his family, himself, his sister, his nieces and nephews, his cousins, his mother, they were all there. We were a big huddle in the middle of the room, and we prayed out loud with our arms draped across one another's shoulders. And as we left, the young woman with me waved to our new friends with a big smile on her face, and as we exited onto the street and the door closed behind us, she burst into tears. What is going on? I asked her. What is wrong with us? She asked. What's wrong with our culture? We're so afraid of other people. We don't welcome people into our homes. We don't say hello to people on the street. We don't talk to people in elevators. We just stare straight ahead as the numbers change. Well, a few days later, she wrote a poem about her experience that day. I don't know where that poem has gone, but the first time I heard it was a few days later as a bunch of us were riding in the back of a pickup truck at sunset in a rural area, weaving among bicycles and stray dogs and pedestrians with bundles on their head in that Central American country. And among the dozen or so people in the back of the truck were young people, old people, Salvadorans, Americans, Canadians, gay people, straight people, men, women, and our young poet. And she read her poem about the transformative experience of trusting a stranger as we bounced along in that pickup truck. To make a break with the status quo means different things for different people. For you, it may be a decision toward voluntary simplicity. Perhaps it means a change in your eating or drinking habits. Maybe it involves standing up for a cause, maybe even becoming known for a cause. Now, to be very honest with you, I know that I have no authority to challenge you to wake up from sleepy complacency. I live in a comfortable home. My house address is in the suburbs. I enjoy more luxuries than I deserve. And I know that the best way to enjoy this lifestyle is through prudence and discretion. But Jesus does have the authority to shake you and me out of sleepy complacency. We would detest him for it. But Christ would be within his rights to come into this church, frankly, to come into any church, as he did in Jerusalem, and dismiss this liturgy with a whip. I'd go so far as to say that there's hardly a church in North America where he wouldn't be in the right to do that. He would tell us that if anyone is stumbling, it's us, in our feeble attempts to fulfill the minimum requirements of our faith. If there is any folly, the folly is ours for thinking that we as individuals or as a church are genuinely representing to the world the power and the mission of God. As we are dismissed from this church today, we will hear, "Go in peace." But what I would hope is that we will also hear the crack of Christ's whip. May we be reminded that he who is stumbling block and folly is the one in whose steps we are meant to walk and in whose name we are sent to serve.
to worship and praise you.
God, source and ground of all goodness and life, give to your people the peace that passes all understanding and the will to live your gospel of mercy and justice through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God, remember us in your love and teach us to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let us bless our God.
Praise and praise to you.
May God, Creator, bless and keep us. May Christ be ever light for our lives. May the Spirit of love be our guide and path for all of our days.
Go in peace.